Seated. I'm going to invite you to look at Colossians, the first chapter. I'm actually going to read it to you out of the Amplified. They'll probably put it up for us, praise God. But in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church and he's speaking into their lives. And he says this in verse 12. He says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Now that's just right there, just enough to stop and celebrate. God has qualified us and made us fit to partake of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. God qualified you. You didn't qualify yourself. You got qualified when you made Jesus Lord of your life. Amen. You didn't just get saved to hang on and hold out till the end. See, a lot of people think that we got saved, but now, you know, we're just going to hang on, hold out, and maybe make it to the end so we can get to heaven and praise God someday. But, you know, the Lord didn't save you just to get you to heaven. He saved you to bring you into his kingdom and bring you out of darkness into his light. Amen? And Jesus himself is our qualification because he's our righteousness. Hallelujah. So God has qualified us. So we're to give thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share in the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. The Father, now here's how he did it. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Glory to God. Woo. Look at that. God was in Christ. The Father himself, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God was working his salvation plan through his Son. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5 says in verses 18. And verse 17 says that when we enter into that relationship with Christ, we become new creations, brand new species of beings that never existed before. And old things are passed away, all things have become new. That means this, God does not renovate us, God remakes us. Are you hearing me? I become a brand new person in Christ Jesus. And here, according to what he's saying in Colossians, he delivers me from the authority, the dominion of darkness. That means everything the devil had on me is now broken off of me. It means I am no longer a part of the sin kingdom. I'm a part of the kingdom of God now. I'm a part of God's kingdom. I'm no longer an old unworthy sinner. I am now a child of God, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I have been redeemed, brought back into harmony with God. And not only am I saved now and can celebrate the fact that I have eternal life, I am now a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of God. Hallelujah. What's that mean? All that God has, I have the privilege of being a part of now. Ephesians 1:3 says that we're to give thanks unto the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. The revelation that you don't have to be poor, defeated, broke down, condemned, unworthy. Are you hearing me? That is not God's plan for a Christian. God's plan for you is to rise up and walk in the light of who you are right now in Christ Jesus and realize that the devil no longer has dominion over your life. That means this, that sin that keeps on trying to trip you up, tell it to leave. It has no place in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. That those lies of you're unworthy needs to be cast down because they have no place in your life. That was the old person, but the old person died with Jesus on the cross, and I was raised up with Christ, seated in heavenly places, and now I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And I don't care what I feel like. I'm qualified to get blessed whether I feel like I do or not. I'm qualified to get my prayer answered on my worst day. Did you hear me? Why? Because it's not my works that made me qualified. It's not my goodness that makes me qualified. It is what my Father, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did with me and for me and through me. When he raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he raised me up with him. And when I said, Jesus be my Lord, everything Jesus did then became mine. Hallelujah. Come on, church, that's who we are. We are now new creations in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't mean just born again sinners. No, it means I am a child of God. And I am qualified on my worst day in the worst storm of my life to receive God's help in that situation. Amen. How does that work? In whom we have redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness. Actually, that word in the Greek is the remission of sins. See, as a Christian, I get forgiveness, but as a sinner, I get my sins remitted. Remitted means blotted out and never remembered again. Are you hearing me? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has blotted out my past. And Isaiah 43, he says in verse 25 to the prophet Isaiah, he says, I am he that blots out thy transgressions and will remember your sins no more. Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't remember your past? I remember a friend of mine said he was having a bad day one day, and he just said, Lord, I just don't think I can preach tonight. I've had such a bad day. And the Lord said, What's so bad about your day? He said, well, Lord, you know, I did some things this morning I didn't do just right. And he says, didn't you ask me to forgive you? He said, yes, sir, I've confessed that all day long. He said, I heard you the first time. He said, don't you believe my word? He says, well, yeah, I do. He says, then act like it. And he said, and since I choose not to remember it, would you quit trying to bring it up all the time? Amen. See, why should we act like the devil? He's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. So he's accusing me enough without me running around telling God all my mistakes. Amen. No, if you mess up, you confess up, and God is faithful to clean it up. Amen. And then we go on with him. So what I want to get across to you is first is this. We need to grab a hold of the fact that everything God has, he's made available to you and me. In Galatians 3:13-14, he says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not just part of it, but the whole curse itself, which was spiritual death, poverty, lack and want, sickness and disease. If you go back and study it. So when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he delivered you from the dominion, the authority of darkness, and brought you out of sin and brought you over into right standing with God Almighty and made you a child of God. Amen? But he also redeemed you out of poverty, lack, and want, and brought you into a place where you can partake now of God's blessings and of his provision in your life. He also took you out of sickness and disease so that you can now receive healing in your bodies, praise God, and walk in health. Amen? Somebody comes along and he says, well, now, Pastor Darren, what if that's the case, why are we not all doing it? Well, you see, here's the thing you got to get a hold of, folks. All of this stuff's in the Word of God, but how many of you found out that if you don't know what's in there, you can't do it? Amen? So look over in 3 John verse 2, and let me give you the keys, some keys to making all of this truth work in your life. Amen? Because you see, you and I have to grab a hold of this. And the first key is this. You have to renew your mind to what you have in Christ Jesus. How many of you found out you can't use what you don't know? Yeah. Amen. Somebody says, well, what do you mean? Well, Hosea 4:6, there's a scripture over there. I'll just quote it to you. It says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says that. My people are destroyed. That word destroyed there means cut off. My people are cut off from the blessings for lack of knowledge. Oh, my. If I don't know it, I can't operate in it. I've shared this a little illustration. It's not one that really makes me look great, but it's a good illustration about lack of knowledge. Back in 1980... That's a few years ago, isn't it? Anyway, I purchased this car, and it was the fanciest one I ever had. It had all this stuff. I mean, it had the push-button windows. It had all the AM/FM that you could get back in those days. It even had a little voice module with it that would, you know, talk to you and tell you what to do and stuff. And I just was so excited about it. And I drove this car, and I had it for a couple weeks, and I realized there's got to be a cup holder in this thing somewhere. Now, I've got a book in the glove box. You know what book it was? The owner's manual. But I never got it out because I just thought I could figure this out myself. I drove that car, I hate to say this, but I drove that car for about 6 months, and I was so aggravated, I wanted to take it back and tell them, you people, I can't believe you'd make a car with all this stuff on it and not put a cup holder in it. I drank coffee, and I don't have any place to put my coffee. I got so aggravated, I wanted to drill a hole and put one of my own little ones in and screw it in. And so one day I'm out here and I'm cleaning my car and I'm praying and stuff. And I look down and I said, I wonder what that button is. I hadn't even pushed that button. I had this car for 6 months. I pushed the button and poof, double deluxe, super deluxe, two cup holders pop right out. And I looked at it and I said, I've had that all the time. I can't believe I rode around here fussing for 6 months that this car didn't have, and it had the best cup holders of any car I'd ever owned in my life. How many of you know that the factory didn't create them and put them there the day I found them? They were there all along, but they weren't doing me of any benefit because I didn't know they were there all along. Are you hearing me? We get born again and we come to church, but if we don't get in the Word and come to hear, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if we don't grab a hold of the Word, you cannot operate in something you don't know. Faith begins where the will of God is known, and God's Word is God's will. Amen? And so just the first step to coming to the altar, that's the first step. That's not all the steps. You come to the Lord Jesus. You give your life. Now you have to take the rest of your life to find out what the Lord did in that 1 second when you ask Him into your heart. Because He didn't just save you for you to hold on till you get to heaven. He saved you so you could now begin to partake of the inheritance that you have as a child of God and walk in the light and not in the darkness that He delivered you out of. Amen? But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he goes on, Hosea says, and because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests. Meaning what? If you don't receive that knowledge and put it to work, you can't operate in it. And Christianity is a progressive walk with God of learning and growing and developing and letting the Lord show. Even when you find something, you only have a little bit of the immensity of it. Amen? Because God is bigger. Hallelujah. I've gotten to the place in certain things I've gone, man, Lord, that is great. And by the time the Lord opened my eyes up and I go, ooh, it's bigger than that, isn't it? Ooh, it's even bigger than that. Hallelujah. Because the more you get to know of God, the greater He becomes in your life. So what does John say to us? John gives us the answer to this. He says, beloved, he's talking to you and me, believers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers, even as your soul. You know what he's saying? He's saying how much you renew your mind to what God has for you is going to determine the level of participation you have in the blessings of God. Amen? See, this is the thing. I never got a healing, and I fought sickness all the time until I got into the Word and found out that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Amen. I thought, you know, I was taught that sickness was part of it, and that's where you can suffer for God. And I thought, you know, I wish somebody else would do my suffering for me then, because I don't really like this. But then I got in the Word. Does that mean you've never been attacked? Sure, I've been attacked. But you know what? Now I have weapons that I can use against the attacks of the enemy in that area, because I know it's not God doing it to me. Amen. God is there to help me through that test. He's there to help me through that situation. But what does John say? John says, beloved, he says, I'm praying for you that you may prosper in all things. Meaning what? Have a successful life. Walk in victory. Amen? God doesn't want us failing and walking around feeling like we're losers. He wants us to prosper, have success, be victorious, do things. Hallelujah. And be in health. What's that mean? Enjoy life while you're doing it. Praise God. Amen? Stay healthy and strong. Yes, we're all getting older, but you know, getting older doesn't mean you're getting worse. It just means you're getting older. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I can still run, just not as fast as I used to. Praise God. Amen. And so you see, you've got to understand these things. You begin to adjust the Word. In fact, you know, I like what Psalm 103 talks about. He renews our strength at the age and dispensation that we're living in, one translation says. Hallelujah. Meaning what? If you're 20, you don't need to be renewed like a 70. Hallelujah. Amen. But we all get renewed in our own way, praise the Lord.
Why? Because we are partakers of the blessings and the inheritance of God. From the day we make Jesus Lord until we take our last breath and step over into eternity with Him. Amen. And in every battle, we have Him there to trust and work with and get us through, because He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. But you see, this all begins when we begin to renew our minds, renew our thinking, and get a hold of what the Word of God has for us in His Word. Amen? Look in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's read this one real quick. Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 2. Paul, writing here to the church, says, "And do not be conformed to this world." You know what that means? Don't let the world determine your attitude, your actions, your identity. Don't be conformed. I refuse to let the world label me. Amen? And the world's all the time trying to label. Well, you know, you're poor, you're defeated, you're nobody, you can't do this. I refuse that. The world's not going to tell me who I am. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Hallelujah. Because I'm of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I walk in the kingdom of God. Amen? He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Notice that. By the renewing of your mind. Paul's not writing to sinners. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to Spirit-filled, born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. Hallelujah. He's writing to Trailhead Church. And he's saying, don't let the world tell you what you can and can't have, what you can and can't do. Don't let the world tell you who you are, what you'll ever be. He says, don't let the world conform you and train you up and make you what it wants you to be. No, here's what you do. Be transformed, transfigured, totally renewed and changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Changing the way you think to line up with what God says. Amen? See yourself the way God sees you. Think about yourself what God thinks about you. And he says, here's why you have to renew your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Meaning what? I can't prove it or make it work in my life if I haven't renewed my mind to think like that. Amen? And you see, renewing of your mind, how many found out that's not just a one-time read? Huh? Anybody besides me have to take a little bit of time to change some thinking? Sure we do. That's why the Bible talks about meditating in the Word. And that's why the Bible talks about, you know, continuing in the Word and staying with the Word. Why? Because I have to stay with the Word until it becomes the dominant thought in my life. That it's now got control of my thinking and my attitude, not the problem. Are you hearing me? So Paul's writing to us. He says, you want to start transforming, start changing things and making God's Word work in your life? You got to change your mind. You got to change your thinking. You got to line your thinking up with the Word of God. And once again, Paul is writing to Christians. Amen. He's speaking to you and me what we are to do after we've made Jesus Lord of our life. Now, let's keep on going. Let's look over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let's see what the Apostle Peter has to say. We've seen what John has. We see what the Apostle Paul has. Now look what the Apostle Peter says. He says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes. In other words, don't wait until you've been in church for 10 years. Amen? The moment you make Jesus Lord of your life, here's what you're supposed to do. Desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Woo, hallelujah. Meaning what? The moment I say, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord, boom, get in the Word. Get in the Word and start finding out who you are in Christ Jesus and start walking in who you are. And begin to change your thinking, change the way you see yourself and change the way you see life and change the way you see the world. Amen? And start seeing it through God's perspective and not what the enemy would say about it. And begin to let God have His way in your life. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 130, you don't have to turn there. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It brings understanding unto the simple." What's he saying? He said, "The entrance of your words brings light." In other words, I have to let the Word enter into me. Are you hearing me? See, you and I right now are making a decision. Jesus, whenever he was teaching, he would say many times, he would say, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, everybody there had two flip-flops on their side of their head. Amen. He wasn't talking about the outward. He was talking about tuning in and hearing actually what he had to say. Because it's only what you really hear is going to change your life. See, faith doesn't come by listening to a preacher preach. Faith comes by hearing what the preacher is preaching. The word. I heard that. I heard that. Praise God. I would fight sickness all the time. Just colds and stuff. And Bonnie and I were married. We were, just finished college and was between college and Bible school. And friends of mine had gotten a hold of some scriptures. And a minister from Rhema actually had started a church down in Tennessee where I went to school. And so they'd gotten over there. And he'd started after we graduated and been there for a month or so. So we went down to visit and came back. And they gave me a whole host of scriptures. And I remember I was just reading, and they were about the healing. And I thought, man, this is so good. So I got my Bible out, and I went through and marked them in my Bible. And then I began to meditate, and I began to memorize them, and I began to quote them to myself. And I can remember we were driving back from Tennessee, coming back up to Virginia, where we were staying at the time. And we were driving right through Withville. And this is before they had interstate, so it was a two-lane road. But anyway, praise God. We were coming along through there and driving our little 1971 Ford Pinto. Had not gotten any scripture on prosperity yet, but I've gotten this one on healing. Hallelujah. And we're driving along, and I leaned over after I'd been looking at these scriptures for like 3 days while we'd been down there and meditating, memorizing, and all of a sudden he just rose up on the inside of me. I leaned over and I looked at Bonnie and said, I'm not going to be sick anymore. Hallelujah. And she says, what? Now, she didn't say what because I stunned her. She said what because that little car had so much wind blowing through it, through the holes in it and stuff. You had to talk loud. So I said, I'm not going to be sick anymore. She goes, that's good. I said, no, it ain't good. It's God. Hallelujah. And I quoted three scriptures to her, and I said, praise God. And you know what? I started standing on the word. How many of you know that once you renew your mind to the word, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal? In Mark chapter 4, he says, the sower sows the word and the devil comes to steal. See, he's out to steal that word because, see, he knows that if you get a hold of the truth in your mind and get the truth in your heart and you begin to act upon it, that truth will set you free. And it'll change and you can prove God's will in your life. Amen. So the very next week, we're coming back. And so we get in, and I wake up, and it's a Saturday morning, and I tell you what, I've got sinus, and I've got all this stuff hitting me, and in my thoughts, just call in sick. You're only working half a day; it's summer work, and so just call in; it'll be all right. And I thought, I'm not going to do it, because up out of my spirit began to rise up and say this, but by whose stripes you were healed. See, I have now gotten a hold of what my inheritance is. Amen. My inheritance is I can be healed. God can get me through this. But how many of you know that just because you know something doesn't mean it's going to work for you? See, Jesus said that without faith, you can't please God, the Bible says. So you got to have faith in God. Amen. And faith isn't just believing. Faith is an action. Faith is actually standing up and going after it. So I can remember my first fight of faith for to fight off those symptoms was this. I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name. And I quote your scriptures. And then the thought came to me, body, if you don't obey God, you ain't getting any food today. I'm going to fast today, and I'm going to be healed. Immediately, this thought comes to me. You know, starve a cold, feed a fever. You better feed or you'll get worse. And I cast that down in Jesus' name. So I go to work. How many of you know that the devil's always playing these little things and he don't quit just because you made a decision to go? So break time rolls around, and break time at 9 o'clock at this place, nobody ever did anything. But this morning, a donut truck pulls up. And they say, we made all these dozens of donuts for this people. They can't have them, so we're going to sell them for $1 a dozen. And everybody in the shop bought 2 dozen donuts. And everybody's going, it's break time, let's feast. And everybody's offering me handfuls of donuts. And I'm going, oh, God, I promised I was going to fast. But one donut wouldn't break the fast, would it? But you know what? I went to the bathroom, prayed, and got my faith going again. And I came out, and I was polite. I said, "No, that's okay. I don't want to know. And I appreciate it." It's the only time, the whole time I worked there, they offered me anything. It was on the day that I made a check. But I decided no. So I go home, finish it up, and we were going to have a little Bible study that evening. So I laid down. I said, "Lord, I want to thank you that I'm going to be healed so I can share a little Bible study with the group that's coming tonight." And so I laid down. When I woke up, every symptom was gone. And I won my first fight of faith against the sickness that was coming against my body. Yeah. And God began to teach me. But I couldn't do that till I knew what the Word had to say. Yeah. Are you hearing me? That's the same way He got us into prosperity. Praise God. We began to get into the Word. I remember we went to Rhema, and we just had enough to get in the school, pay the first month, rent an apartment, and buy a week's worth of groceries. And then we were going to have to find a job, get something, because we didn't have anybody supporting us. We were just there doing it. Praise God. And so we're going along, and it was getting really tight. And they brought a gentleman in, and he preached on prosperity all week. How it's God's will to meet your need, and how it's God's will to touch your life, and how it's God's will to bless you. And I got a hold of those scriptures, and I went home, and I prayed in the Spirit, and I worshiped God, and I got it in me, because the entrance of your words gives light. All of a sudden, I realized I don't have to be poor no more. Hallelujah. God will meet my need, even as a student. Glory to God. So I told Bonnie, I said, "Blessed be God, we're not going to be poor anymore. We're going to prosper. Hallelujah." She goes, "That's good." I said, "It ain't good, it's God. Hallelujah." I said, "We're going to do this." So we began to pray and agree. And I can remember, you know, here's your first chance. I go walking into the auditorium there on Rhema, and we were having a service, you know, the last day of the last class of the day. And I walk in, as I walk through the front doors, somebody gives me a Holy Ghost handshake. You know what that is? Money in it. Hallelujah. And so they hand me, and I looked down and went, "Ooh, $20. Now, in 1977, folks, $20, especially if you hadn't seen one for a few months, was big money. I stuck that in my pocket, and I went, "Yes, God, you're meeting my needs." And I walked about 10 steps, and a friend of mine comes running over and says, "Hey, Daryl, you got $20? I went, "Why?" Well, he said, he named a young lady. He said, "This is her last day to pay her tuition, and she don't get 20 more. We've raised 40, but we have to have 20 more. And she, if you got $20, she can pay her tuition, and she can stay in school for another month." Lord said, "Sow your seed, son. I gave you seed to sow." Yeah. He said, "Do you want to prosper? You got to do it my way." So you know what? I reached in and pulled that 20 out, pried my fingers open, hallelujah, and gave it. And you know what God began to do whenever He realized, if I give you something, I can trust you with it? Because prosperity isn't just you getting. Prosperity is God putting you in a position to be a blessing. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, God's provision began to flow, and Bonnie and I began to be blessed, and God began to open doors for us, and we began to prosper and come out of that. Hallelujah. But how many of you know that just because you get something once, it doesn't mean that you can just walk away from it? Amen. You got to stay with it. Yeah. Whenever Bonnie and I, Pastor Anna, when she was about, a year and a half old, I think, somewhere in that area, we were in Fort Smith, Arkansas, pastoring a church, and I had the two small ones. And so Christmas rolled around, and we had taken this church. It had been struggling, and we were helping them build it back up. And it came down to Christmas, and we had no money for Christmas. Right there in the November, 1st of December. No money whatsoever. And I preach prosperity because God says you'll prosper. How many of you know you have to believe this when you don't have it as well as you believe it when you do have it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen? God doesn't change. He's always there. And I can remember, you know, Bonnie and I, we were praying. A friend of mine said, "Hey, why don't you go over with me to visit?" We went from Fort Smith, Arkansas, over into South Oklahoma. And I went over there at a car dealership, and this guy was there. And I got to meet him. He had a big dealership. And then there were two other Full Gospel businessmen was there, international directors, and it was a big time. And they were fairly wealthy gentlemen. And so the reason this guy asked me to go was this. they wanted to give this guy that owned the dealership some cash because he was having a cash flow problem. So the first guy pulls out a check for like $5,000. I went, okay, praise God. Another guy pulls out a check for $2,500. Another one pulls out another one for $2,500. Cashier's checks. There's $10,000 laying there on the table. I'm going, this is great. They're meeting. God's moving. And I had three $1 bills in my billfold. $3. That's all Bonnie and I had to our name. Three $1 bills. And I thought, you know what? Surely somebody will want to buy me lunch. Hallelujah. But if they don't, at least $3, I can get me something. Hallelujah. And so I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, aren't you going to give? And I said, no. He says, why not? I said, Lord, I got $3. And, you know, he and I are having this conversation. And the Lord says, didn't you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that I give seed to the sower? And I bless the seed that he sows? I said, yes, sir, I have read that. He goes, then sow your $3. I said, but he's already got $10,000 in there. He's going to have $10,000 and $3. Lord said, are you ashamed? See, the Lord's trying to teach me something, folks. We think we can't be a blessing until we've got a lot of money and we got a lot of this and got a lot of that. You know, to get a lot of this, you got to start where you're at. And so I just looked at him and I said, well, you know, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. And Lord, you're my source. And $3 ain't going to buy my kids presents for Christmas anyway. So if it's not the harvest, it must be seed. And no, I'm not ashamed. So I pulled $3 bills out of my billfold and put them on the table and says, I want to give two. And they all looked at me like, oh, well. Okay, praise God. So we got up. And then one of them said, hey, let's go have lunch. I'm buying. I went, oh, thank God. Hallelujah. It's already paying off. Hallelujah. And so we went out, but it's so funny. I walked around the corner. One of the international directors walks over to me. He says, you know, it really blessed me that you would obey God like that. That you put him first, and you didn't care what was or what we did. You did what the Lord told you. And he shook my hand, one of them Holy Ghost shakes. Hallelujah. Put it in my pocket. I walked around the other side of the dealer, and the guy walks up. He says, you know, that I was so blessed, and he shakes my hand. Puts it in my pocket. Well, I got with my friend. We had lunch. We're driving back over to Fort Smith. He looks at me. He says, I noticed those guys shook your hands. Did they give you anything? I said, well, yeah. He says, well, what'd they give you? I said, I don't know. I haven't looked. He says, well, look, man, I want to see. I said, okay. So I reached in my pocket, and I pulled them out. There was three $100 bills. I went over with $3 and an opportunity to be obedient to God. And I act upon the truth that I knew. And because I did, I put God in a position where he could bless me and I could buy my kids some presents for Christmas. Yeah. See, folks, here's the thing. We are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. But you have to learn God's ways. You have to learn that he operates through us being obedient to him and letting his word direct us and guide us and not conforming to the world. Because if I was conformed to the world, I'd have never given up $3. I'd have let my flesh, I'd have let what I thought they would think of me. All these things would have stopped me from obeying God. But because I chose when I made Jesus Lord to follow the ways of the Lord and learn who I am. See, Jesus in John chapter 8, and I'll finish it with this, and we're going to pray. But in John chapter 8 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and well, let's just turn there. I'll read it to you. I can quote it, but sometimes we need to read it. John chapter 8, the Lord has been teaching, and we get down here to verse 30, and it says, and as he spoke these words, many believed in him. How did they believe in him? They believed according to the words. Their belief was built upon what Jesus was saying, his words. Always build what you believe on God's words. Amen? Not what you feel, not what you see, not what other people tell you. What's the word say? And it says this, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide or continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You want to be free today? make God's word the truth of your life. Not just a truth, the truth. A truth is something you do when it's convenient. The truth is something you do all the time. It has control. It determines what you're going to do. Amen? I'm going to live for God on my worst day, just like I'm going to live for God on my best day. Because I have that truth inside me. I'm going to believe that the Lord is my provider whenever I've got bills stacked up all around me, because, you see, I've already renewed my mind and He wants me to prosper in everything I do. Now, does that mean God wants me to be a millionaire? Maybe. But, you know, in Deuteronomy 28, the Amplified says, then you shall have a surplus of prosperity. You know what that means? More than enough. Yeah. More than enough. I don't know about you, but I've set myself for 2025 to live in the more than enough. Amen. I'm going to walk in God's supply. And I'm going to do that by getting into the Word and letting God show me who I am and what my inheritance is, and then step out in faith and act upon it. Amen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said the entire kingdom of God operates on seed time and harvest, on sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is just me getting a hold of God's truth and acting upon it, trusting God to bring the blessing. Amen. Me acting on that truth. Why are you acting on that truth, Brother Huffman? Because I'm free. That truth set me free from fear. That truth set me free from worry. That truth set me free from insecurity. That truth set me free from feeling unworthy and undeserving. That truth set me free from my past of guilt and condemnation. That truth set me free from having to perform or act like you want me to act just so I can get along with you. As long as I'm pleasing the Lord, that's the main thing. I read the story one day where they had a young Christian, and they had just stood their ground all day long against certain things, and people were fussing at him, and people were trying to get him to compromise. And they said, what was so good about this day? And the young Christian said, right in the midst of it all, I looked up, and in my heart I saw Jesus smiling, and the smile of Jesus was more important to me than everything you were trying to tempt me with. That's how we draw from the Lord. That's the truth that sets us free. Amen. And that's what God is calling us to do, to take a hold of these things and release His provision in our life. Let God be a part of everything you do. Amen. In fact, put Him first. Matthew 6:33 says, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Father,